Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. I'm going to read just this one verse and speak for just a few minutes, and then we're going to have at the end of the service a time of special prayer for our emergency personnel. But Luke 19:10 is a very, very wonderful verse. These are words that are spoken by Jesus Christ Himself, and they come at the end of a story where Jesus meets a man that the Bible says was of small stature, which means he was a short little guy, by the name of Zacchaeus. And Jesus introduces Himself to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus' life is changed because of his interaction with Jesus Christ. The end of that story in Luke 19:10, we find this verse: "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be here. God, forgive us the health and well-being to be able to come out to the house of the Lord. And thank You for our honored guests. We thank You for the other visitors we have. There's visitors scattered all over, Lord, not only in this service, but in the three other services that are going on. Lord, we pray, dear God, that You'd meet. Bless our time together here. Lord, I pray that You would use it, Lord, to great benefit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I did a little research. I wanted my heart and mind to be properly prepared for this morning's honor service. So over the past week, I've invested quite a bit of time in research and reading. Because of the far-reaching ability of the Internet, I was able to locate and download scores of stories of amazing rescues performed by various emergency response teams across the nation. Some of these recent, some of these 50, 100 years old. And I was blessed by them. Some were eyewitness accounts, some the results of newspaper, radio, and television writers. Some were testimonials given by those involved in the rescue, or thankful words of those would-be victims who were rescued. I read of brave law enforcement personnel who risked their own life and safety to assist citizens who were threatened or in grave danger. I read many incredible stories of EMTs who placed themselves in life-threatening situations in order to assist someone whose life was threatened. Many of the stories involved firefighters who rushed in while others rushed out, again risking their own life to save another. Now, as I read all of these and digested them, was moved by them, God taught me something. Let me say this. Whatever it is in a man or a woman that makes them do these things and want to do these things, I believe that comes from the Creator. Now listen carefully. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 7, we read, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And we understand by the Bible that when God created mankind, He created them in His image. Now we read on in Genesis and find and read about the fall of mankind, the choice of Adam and Eve to disobey God, and the introduction of sin into the human race. But let me say this, even in our sinful state, the marks of our Creator, the fact that we were created in His likeness, still exists upon us and in us. One of the character traits of Jehovah God is His longing to save those who cannot save themselves. In our text in Luke 19, we find that Jesus states the primary reason for His coming to this earth. Why did Jesus, the Son of God, a member of the Triune God, why did He leave the safety and glory of heaven to be born of a virgin in one of Bethlehem's stables? Why did He walk the earth for 33 years, living a perfect example for us, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, rescuing those who were tormented and tortured by demon possession? Why did Jesus allow Himself, think of this, to be falsely accused, beaten, tortured, nailed to an old rugged cross? Why did He freely give His life? Why did He lay for 3 days in a borrowed tomb? And why did He roll back the stone and defeat death and the devil for time and eternity? Why did Jesus do these things? because Jesus was driven by love. Love drove Jesus Christ to pull off the greatest rescue ever. Love for a sinful world, love for mankind, love for you and me caused him to answer the call, go to earth, the scene of the worst tragedy ever, perform perfectly and flawlessly his duty, give his very life, and make it possible for everyone to be saved. Jesus pulled off the greatest mass rescue exercise ever, and he did it for me and he did it for you. Now, I was thinking about the three branches of service, and I thought about our firefighters, and I thought, you know what? Whatever's in you guys that make you want to save someone from the burning, I believe that comes from God, because Jesus Christ did what he did to save us from fire. I understand that in a lot of churches and even in some areas, it hasn't been deemed very popular to talk about hell, but that is a Bible doctrine. It is taught in the Word of God. Those of you that are here this morning who train and make ready for the day you may be called upon to enter a burning building to save someone who cannot save themselves. The Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you about him. He suffered and bled and died to save all of mankind from the worst inferno, this real world place the Bible refers to as the lake of fire. Also, it refers to it as everlasting fire, Hades, or hell. Why did Jesus die? Because the wages of sin is eternal death in this place, and Jesus was willing to pay with his life and make it possible for everyone to be saved from the burning. I love Jude chapter 1. It says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." And what Jesus was saying there was this. He said, part of my mercy, part of the package of my mercy was that through my death, folks can be saved from the fire, saved from hell. I thought about our EMTs. Jesus, I thought about this. Jesus saved us from the sickness of sin. Every EMT who's studied and drilled and prepared to arrive on the scene of some accident or a medical emergency is 100% focused on doing everything he or she can to save that life. We had an incident during our building program, and some of you that are in this room now showed up then. We had a young man take a free fall from 10 feet up onto a cement floor, and I'm going to tell you, it was a miracle and grace of God that he was not injured any more than he was. But also within minutes of that happening, these folks that are local here responded, and let me tell you something I noticed right away. They were focused. They showed up with this important purpose. I mean, all else was forgotten. How do we stabilize this young man? How do we get him the help that he needs? Whatever is the cause that is threatening the life of the one you're called to assist, you do all you can to stabilize the situation and help the one who's hurt and sick. Now I thought of Isaiah 53:5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus did something that no EMT can do, and that this preacher can't do. When Jesus came to earth, he didn't say, "Let me see if I can help stabilize this situation." He said, "Let me take what's wrong with you and put it on me." You know, have you ever been to a situation, especially dealing with children, where one of the thoughts that go through your mind is, "I wish that I could trade places. I wish, because I could handle this better." When the Bible says that all of our iniquity was on Christ, all of our sin was laid on Christ, he came down not to try to heal us in our sin, but to save us from our sin. He took the iniquity, the sin of the whole world. The Bible says he became sin for us. The day Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. He shed his blood and gave his life so that our sins would be paid for. I thought about our law enforcement. Jesus showed us mercy even though we had grievously broken the laws of God. God in heaven was the original lawgiver. Those of you who have sworn to uphold and enforce the law of our land know one thing. This is true. Think about this. Everyone at some time breaks the law. I was thinking I'm going to instruct our people to do this, but I do some things that help trigger some things in me because I'm forgetful. And I want to remember to pray for certain people. During harvest and spring, when so many of our farmers are out in the fields, I tell our people, when you go by and you see a piece of farm machinery working in a field, pray for the farmers. If you get behind a combine, instead of muttering to yourself, pray for the farmers. One of the things I've tried to do, and I've tried to make this a practice, is anytime I see a fire truck or an ambulance, I always try to pray for their, wherever they're going, for the situation, but also for those people that are in that vehicle. When I see a police car, I automatically pray. I've done that since I was 16. That's something I don't have to really remind myself of. I've done more praying with a police car behind me than any other time in my life. You know what? Everyone at some time breaks the law. No, you know what? No person's ever lived who's never purposely or inadvertently broken some law. Laws revealed to us that we're not perfect. The thou shalt and the thou shalt not to the Bible were given to us so we could clearly see that we cannot live a perfect life. We could not enter a perfect heaven on our own. We needed someone who was perfect to make a way for us. Jesus, as the Son of God, lived that perfect life. When he died, he did not die for his own sins, but for ours. When he rose again, he defeated death and gave us the promise that we too, through him, could rise one day to life eternal. One of the scores of stories that I read, most of them were of successful rescues and acts of heroism. Most of what I read was very uplifting and encouraging. I will tell you that there was one particular story that saddened me more than any other, and it was the story of a failed rescue attempt. This took place almost 75 years ago, and I'll just give you the bare-bone facts. Two policemen were the first to arrive on the scene of a man who was threatening to jump off of a high bridge to his death. Sensing the seriousness of the situation, one of the officers put himself in harm's way by joining the man on the ledge of the bridge. The officer, in an attempt to reach the man, encountered a strong gust of wind which swept the officer off the bridge and to his death. His partner was devastated. Can you imagine? Yet he refocused and continued talking to the suicidal man, trying to get him off the dangerous ledge. Now the lone officer positioned himself near enough to the potential jumper to reach out and offer him a hand of rescue. Now this is what broke my heart. The jumper ignored the outstretched hand, discounted the sacrifice of the officer who had died trying to save him, and jumped to his death anyway. The surviving officer was tortured and upset. And he later said this, "How could he waste the supreme sacrifice of my friend?" Everyone here in this church, both in the pew and behind the pulpit, is a sinner. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Today and throughout your life, let me say this to everyone in here. Today and throughout your life, God's been holding out his hand of rescue. He's not just holding out his hand to rescue. He's already sent his Son, Jesus, to pay the ultimate price for your sins. Salvation's free. No amount of good works earns anyone a place in heaven. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And God sent his Son, according to this book, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to perform the greatest rescue ever performed. He died in the process, but then again 3 days later, he defeated death and the devil and rose again. For all space and time and eternity, every generation, God's held out a hand to rescue. And sometimes, as a preacher of the gospel, I think what that officer did, how could someone waste the supreme sacrifice of my friend? Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of our sins. If you've never been saved, let me just say this. Salvation isn't a list of a bunch of things you've got to do to earn your way to heaven. Salvation's already been taken care of. It's been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all anybody has to do in order to be saved is simply trust in their heart. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When a man or a woman realizes they're a sinner, realizes that Jesus died for those sins, trusts him as the Son of God, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember there was a day when I walked into a church lost. I'd never been saved, and I heard the gospel, and I understood it, and God spoke to my heart that day. And you know what I did? I just simply bowed my head, and I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'd sure like you to save me. If you did all of that for me, and you're wanting to rescue me for eternity, the least I could do is reach out and take by faith your hand and ask for that salvation." If you've never received Christ as your Savior, I would love to see you do that today. Let me encourage you not to waste the supreme sacrifice of the greatest rescue effort that was ever conducted on this planet. Let me ask you to receive Christ today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. In just a moment, we're going to have a prayer of dedication for our officers. Before we do, I'd like to, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to just simply challenge each and every one of you and give you a wonderful opportunity to be saved. The Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible says that God knew that, yet He chose to rescue us by sending His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When the preacher took the Bible and showed me how to be saved when I was a young man, after he read the scripture to me, he said, "Jerry, do you understand that you're a sinner?" And I did understand that. I could look at my life and know that I had broken many of the laws and commands of God. He said, "Do you realize that if you do not allow God to rescue you, there is an eternal place that the Bible talks about?" And I'd heard him preach, and I knew what that place was, and I knew it wasn't a good place. He told me, "Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. If you'll put your trust in Him and call upon Him, He'll save you." That day, just in simple faith, I prayed a prayer something like this. I said, "Dear Christ, dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and You did die for me, and I would like to accept You today as my Savior. Please save me now and take me to heaven when I die." And I didn't just say it because the preacher asked me to. It wasn't some memorized thing. It was something that came from my heart. And God offers salvation just that simply, just that easily to each and every one of us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you'd like to be saved today and you're not saved, if you'd like to be, you simply pray this prayer silently in your heart. Because God looks upon the heart and He hears the prayer of the heart. If you'd like to be saved, just say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You died for me, was buried and rose again. Please save me right now. Thank You, Lord." Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. There's someone or many someones that prayed that prayer this morning. This is a testimony to me and God. Nobody's looking around. Would you raise your hand? Say, "I prayed that prayer this morning, preacher. I accepted Christ as my Savior." Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, it's been good to be here. And Lord, I do want to just take a moment and thank You for these men and women that took time out of their extremely busy schedule and their duties to be with us today. I hope, Lord, that they've felt the gratitude that's in our hearts. Lord, we've given small tokens, something that they can take home and maybe remember this service fine, but more than anything that we gave, I want them to receive from us a true-hearted thank you. Lord, help us as a church to pray for these men and women. Help us not to just do it today, but in the future as we see them serving in our community, I pray, Lord, that many, many prayers, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of prayers in the next several months will go from the lips of all of us that are in this auditorium. Lord, help us to reach out from time to time and do something tangible to let them know that they are appreciated. And Lord, we do ask, God, and ask, please, for Your physical protection upon their lives. Lord, we never know what the next phone call, next call on the radio is going to bring. And Lord, these men and women, Lord, they need Your help and Your presence. And the Bible says safety is of the Lord. So Lord, we ask that You'd keep them safe and bless them, bless their dear families. We pray these things in Jesus' name.